And so last week we had part one of what will be a part three prophecy update. And Calvary Church of Port Orchard. And if you're listening online, some people just listen to our MP3s. And if you go to this, because we're going to have this MP3 on there so you can listen to it. But it's going to be kind of hard to follow without the PowerPoint. But I'll be also having a handout on the website that will be a PowerPoint, a PDF of the PowerPoint, so you can follow along that way, so you can at least print off a PDF. But last week we started with the things that we know from the prophetic scriptures of the Bible that will be coming on the earth in these last days. Things that we can know. And not emphasizing this time on, well, this is what's going to happen in the Middle East. This is going to be the timing. Iran's going to attack this year. We're going to kind of avoid the things that we can't really know. So what do we know? We covered last week. The world's nations are going to become geographical areas of a global government of 10 nations. So we covered that last week. We showed the Club of Rome. This goes all the way back to the 80s, this map. I got this off the European website, like I said last week. This is another one that's more recent. We emphasize that Canada and Greenland are part of America, so America is not, it's not going to be USA. It's going to be, and for those that watch on YouTube, okay, and also, we covered this last week, but for those who watch on YouTube, it disappears off of our homepage and goes into sermon archives. And this study and last week's study and next week's study is going to be under sermon archives topical prophecy. And so you can look for, or you can just search on it, last day's prophecy. But this map right here is a more recent. If you do Club of Rome search on Google, this is what you'll see, which is different than this map. We emphasized this last week. Different than this map. So it seems like the powers that be are changing to say, well, maybe Mexico can go with South American Union and America is going to gobble Greenland. And so, and now look at all the hype that we had. We emphasized last week. It was that day. It was January 1st that Trump was talking about, hey, we need to, Greenland and Canada need to be us. And since last week, Trudeau resigns. And then Trump announces that the Gulf of Mexico will get a new name. And it's not the United States Gulf. What is it? The American Gulf. And what is the, and they've already decided back in the 80s, the North American Union, the South American Union, the African Union, the Asia Union, the Southeast Asia Union, the European Union, all that's been decided. That's their plan. That's when the globalists, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the World Economic Forum, all those guys, when they all meet, this is their goal. This is where they want the world to go. And so then why would Trump, the anti-globalist, be doing this? Could it be because he's actually one of them? He's a double agent man? we have to keep that in mind, and we have to just, he's not our savior. We believe in the second coming of Jesus, not the second coming of Trump. We have to realize there's no stopping this. Trump is not going to stop this. And then here's where the timing comes in. I think it's really imminent that things are going to go so crazy we're moving to global government, which we talked all about last week. But it could be delayed. And so that's the issue. But, I mean, the issue is we can't know timing always or how exactly it's going to happen. But we know this is going to happen from all the verses we covered last week. Global government is the end day scenario. There's a 10-nation world empire ruled by the Antichrist. So things we know. Number two, there will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence. We covered this last week as well. That will result in death of billions of people. Based on the scriptures, we talked about it, and that'll bring about global government. And now, look at this. This is this week. This is 7 January, 2025. Face mask mandates are coming back. Have you noticed that they're already starting to talk about China? The hospitals are all loaded up, just like in COVID, and now there's several states doing masks, and maybe they're going to have to do lockdowns, even though the House has already done a report that all the lockdown stuff and masks didn't work and vaccines didn't work and all that stuff. They're priming us for another time of locking down. And why are these things happening? It is now proven that COVID was man-made. It's been proven that the jabs that were a result of that were deadly to hundreds of thousands. I'm being very, I can defend that forever. Millions of people killed and maimed and are continuing to be killed and maimed. And so you sit there and you think, well, they just accidentally did that. The Pfizer and Moderna, they were just trying to, the best they could. They know they had to save people and they just didn't have the time to do all this stuff and they feel so bad about it. No. There's the globalists want to kill large numbers of people. And God told me it's going to be through, there's going to be pestilences. It didn't say pestilences from bugs that were part of the fall and the viruses and bacteria from the part of the fall. He didn't say how, but we now know it's pestilences and plagues that men make deliberately. And now this is a January 5th, 2025 by Michael Snyder. They really do want to reduce the population. 47 shocking population control quotes from the global elite that will make you want to lose your, I'll change it to dinner since it's an evening service. And I'm not going to go through all 47 of them. And this is still a review of last week because of stuff that came up this week. I just got this article on the 5th. And this is Bill Gates. Is he a rich and powerful globalist? Did he give us COVID? Was he working with COVID? Did he have the roundtable discussion before COVID even started? What would we do if all of a sudden there was a new virus that came out and that was October before the Wuhan lab stuff got released? He's very involved. The problem is that the population is growing the fastest where people are less able to deal with it. So it's in the very poorest places that you're going to have a tripling in population by 2050. And why does he consider the poorest places are the places where the population's going to grow? You know why? Where are the poorest places in the world? Africa, other third world countries. What do they not have there? Planned Parenthood. That's what they don't have there. And we've got to make sure that we help out with the tools now, so that they don't have an impossible situation later. Then Turner, a total population of 250 to 300 million globally, he's not talking about in America, million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal. Ted Turner started CNN. He thinks that the world should be down to 250 to 300 million people. At least the Georgia Guidestones. How many of you heard about there was some guidestones, the Ten Commandments of the world, the future of the world, and one of them was reducing the world's population to 500 and maintaining it at 500 million people. And that became so popular in our sphere of influence, people were saying, look at what they're saying, look at what, that somebody came in and bulldozed them all down. Georgia Guidestones. HBO personality, Bill Maher. I'm pro-choice, I'm for assisted suicide, I'm for regular suicide, I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving. That's what I'm for. It's too crowded, the planet is too crowded, and we need to promote death. And this is how globalists think. They think in the idea that we're just rabbits that have run amok in eating up all the crops and stuff, and you fly over the country and the world, and you realize that the true problem is our politics and the way we think. Here's number 29, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. And this is Bill Gates. This is my closing one, number 46 on the quotes. And this was in a TED talk. I was aware of this one years ago. This is a TED talk where he's explaining the world population equation, and he goes, obviously, one of these things has to go to zero. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 to 15%. Now, I mean, I hope you guys get the fact that vaccines, what were vaccines for? They were for making you healthy. They were for making you not get polio, not die of tetanus, not die of various different diseases. But here he's saying we need vaccines to reduce the population of the world. This is before COVID. This is before his money poured into the COVID jab. And so we need new vaccines. Old vaccines used to keep us from getting polio and stuff. Some say that didn't even do that. They could be right. The new vaccines are to sterilize women. The population, the fertility within our country and the jabbed world has drastically decreased, according to medical doctors. So they knew that the lipid nanoparticles that surrounded the RNA that was being injected into our bodies to get into our cells, they knew it targeted the reproductive organs of ovaries of women. This was part of the purposes of the COVID jab were to reduce the fertility of the women in the world. And because they're wanting to do the world a favor and just keep us unhealthy and kill us. And healthcare, so how is healthcare reducing the population? By limiting who gets treated and how much. And that's one of the things that they were talking about, what the Obamacare had hidden within the agenda are, we called them death panels, but it was panels that would decide. You basically triage everybody. Are you worthy of any medical care? You're too old, you're too sick, and they would triage it. And Reproductive Health Services obviously is talking about abortion, killing children in the womb. So, things we know. Number three, this is still review of last week a little bit. There will be a global financial collapse to bring about a global control of buying and selling in order to prevent any rise of a military or rebel power to disturb global government. There has to be a global police state. And there has to be a global collapse of all the economies so that a new economy rises from the ashes that can be controlled digitally throughout the entire world to make sure that nobody has any finances to be able to do anything to fight the globalists. What happened this week? This is, again, January 7th. Trump announces $20 billion in new data centers and post-certification address. $20 billion? Do you know that buys two aircraft carriers? And this is for data centers. And I've been talking to people that are doing work at data centers, one being my son, who's a state trooper, and he said, Dad, all the troopers are being hired by the data centers, and they walk around in civilian clothes, and there's massive security in the data centers. Because they know, now here's my conjecture. Because they know when they start using the data centers to start really locking them down, what would you want to do? You'd want to go take out a data center. It ain't going to happen. So there's massive security, and they make it so that even in the chip sections, the different places where data is coming in and out, that you can't even so much as slip a microchip through a door or crack or something to make it get to someplace else to be able to bring a virus or something to wipe out these national data centers. So, and that was a Fox News article of January 7th. Here is just how much electricity is being used by the data centers. According to recent reports, data centers will be consuming up to 9% of total U.S. electricity by 2030. Do you realize that's a lot of electricity? You think about how much electricity is being used for your houses and for the businesses and the factories and everything else. And there's going to be close to 10%, they plan, of the national grid power supply, 10% just for running data centers. And what are they doing? They're sniffing you. Because they're going to be primarily driven by growing demand for AI applications, which requires significantly more processing power and cooling, potentially leading to a doubling of data center energy consumption compared to previous years. Large Hyperscale data centers can consume over 100 megawatts of power, equivalent to electricity used by hundreds of thousands of electrical cars. This AI stuff that knows everything, we talked about this last week, they know everything about you. They know what you say in your house. And so if, when they do have a digital currency, and they're going to have to be, the AI is going to be able to sniff around, what are you buying now? And they've databased you. How many of you use your QFC, Safeway, Albertson card, punch the number in to save a few bucks? You have told the computer AI world everything that you need to eat, what you eat, how you eat, how often you eat it, how much toilet paper do you buy? And then when they come crunching down on us, if they decide with the health death panels and whatever else, they're going to decide what you can and can't buy when they ration us. And with AI, it's going to be able to, you'll walk into a store and you're just whipping it across the aisle, or you're carrying it in a cart and you're walking through and it scans your cart and it's beep, 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 beep. You have to take out your sugar, or you have to take out whatever they say that you don't get to eat or you don't get to take home. It'll be, and just skip going into a gun store, ammunition store, and it's not even going to be possible. Unless you're a law enforcement officer that's been screened. It'll be total control. And they're doing the database networks now while we're still living free. And then when they have it all done, when it's all ready to go, boom, the jaws go shut. And it'll be all ready to go. So that's what we covered last week. So now how far are we into this? and then today, hatred against the Jews will continue to increase until all the nations of the world are gathered against them in the final battle. But we know that from Scripture. And we're going to go over some Scriptures to prove this point, because we're starting off now with Scripture. We covered Scriptures for what we just reviewed from last week, updated, because news is, isn't it kind of crazy? You listen to somebody's trying to tell you news, oh, that was old news, that was 3 days ago. that just shows you how quick things are changing so quick that it's like 3 days is, who cares? We're on to bigger and better. Hatred of the Jews. And then here are several subtitles under the, people are going to hate the Jews. But what do we know from the Bible? The enemies of the Jews will not be able to defeat them in battles as God himself will defend them. Do we know that from Scripture? Absolutely. And you wouldn't believe how many alternate news people that are on top of global government, they understand all that stuff, but they hate the Jews. Some of them hate the Jews. And they say, this is it. They're going to be annihilated. They're going to be done. They're going to be wiped out. And we sit there and we go, you're wrong, because the Bible's right. There is going to be no wiping out the Jews. And I want you to keep in mind while we're reading these that all these prophecies require the Jews to be living in the land of Israel in the last days. So in other words, if you were living in 1930s or 40s and you're reading these verses that we're seeing now, you would have been saying, the Bible is a fiction. There's no way. I know Hitler missed a few of them, but he pretty much got rid of them. And there's no way they're going to be living in the land of Israel and ever become a power that can defend itself and be defended by God. No way could it happen. They were wrong. They would have been teaching that and thinking, and they would have been wrong. And the reason I want to emphasize this is this anti-Semitism and this rejection of the biblical truths of the Bible pertaining to the Jews is creeping into the church. And case in point, here we are, we're at Calvary Chapel. The Calvary Chapel movement started with Chuck Smith down in Costa Mesa. Then there was close to 2,000 Calvary Chapels around the country and the world. And then Pastor Chuck passed away, turned it over to his son-in-law, Brian Broderson, who just this week turned it over to his son Char. And radio ministries that Pastor Chuck started, Pastor's Perspective, are still going on now. So I watched in August, Char was on a Pastor's Perspective radio call-in show, And somebody called in and said, because of the growing anti-Semitism within the church, she said, I'm a Jordanian Christian, and I just, all this genocide of the Jews and everything else, I just want to know, is there a verse in the New Testament that says that the Jews are back in the land of Israel as a nation? And Charles basically said, no, and we can't defend the Jews being in the nation for the things they're doing. That's not an exact quote, but that's the flavor that he gave, which is the flavor of a lot of professing Christians today. So, there's plenty of verses in the New Testament, as we're going to see. See, these prophecies, they go to, they're impossible to be fulfilled unless the Jews are in the land of Israel in the last days. And so these are Old Testament, but we're going to see how it applies, and even some New Testament verses that apply that are false prophets of God. I mean, they're false prophets of God unless the Jews are in the land. So this is Old Testament. The burden of the word of the Lord, Zechariah 12, 1 through 3. Against it, and it's not like I'm against Israel. He's just saying, this one deals with you, Israel. Thus says the Lord. And he emphasized this to the people in the 30s and 40s that would have been thinking impossible. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heaven, lays the foundation there, forms the spirit within him. I'm the creator. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm capable of doing. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. Is the world in a tizzy over Jerusalem? There's been more UN resolutions about one city in this world than, I mean, thousands of percent times more edicts out of the United Nations pertaining to Jerusalem than any city of the world. I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples, all who would heave it away. Get the Jews out of here. This city belongs to, you know, Al-Quds. This is for the Muslims. All who would heave it away will be surely cut in pieces, even though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. How many nations are going to come against Israel in the last days? All of them. You know, so it's no surprise. People go, man, America's turned against Israel. Well, not totally, but it's going to happen someday. And it might happen after America's not America anymore. It might happen when America is gobbled up into the North American Union. And it's just a North American Union. Although all the nations are gathered against it, the Jews are still going to be around when Jesus comes back. In that day, Zechariah 12, 8 through 9, in that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Okay, so what is Jerusalem? A Jewish city. Who's the inhabitants he's talking about? Jews. So in the day that Jesus is coming back, Jews are in Jerusalem, which means that they have to be in the land. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. Now think about this yellow section. In warfare, do you want some really feeble, wimpy guy to be in your company? You know, when you're a trooper, even on a Navy ship or anything else, do you want some wimpy, feeble guy? At what point did a wimpy, feeble guy be able to be like David? When did that happen? With the technology of being able to push a button. And you could, I don't care, you could be somewhat quadriplegic, or you could be paraplegic and stick your toenail up there onto it. Just stick your toe up and push a button. And how could the house of David be like God? In other words, the Jews are going to be protected by God in a way as if it's God who is doing the judgment on the other nations. Is that kind of true in this war that has come up with between Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah and Syria and everything else? Is just like the world that has spent the world that has invested into the haters of Israel and the Jews to create billions of dollars worth of weapons and tunnels and plans and missiles and everything else, they must just be thinking, man, what does it take to kill a Jew? What does it take to wipe these people out? It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So That's where we come in our country being, hey, this country do not be against the Jews. Because God promised right there, he'll destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, did the Jews feel like Biden has been one of the worst presidents as far as his opposition and Obama as well? And so people say any nation, when Britain started to very, very strongly oppose the formation of the nation of Israel, that the sun, at that moment, the sun didn't set on the British Empire. Now look at him. And so this prophecy only became possible when the Jews returned to the land of Israel and because of the technology that we have today. And case in point, to me, and I forgot to put it in here, case in point, the beepers. And can you think about that? That day that one wimpy guy pushed a button that lit off all those beepers and took out thousands of fighters, some of them dead, some of them wounded, that were hell-bent on destroying and wiping out the Jews. Genociding the Jews. That's their mission, is to genocide the Jews. And like I've said before, it's not genocide to keep your enemy from genociding you. The Jews want to live in peace. They're not, for them to have to be forced to kill the people that want to kill them and their children is not genocide. It's self-defense. Another subtitle under the hatred of the Jews: the Jews will become front and center as God's witness people after the church is removed in the rapture. Now, the anti-pre-tribbers, the post-tribbers, they kind of blow off Israel. You know, we're the saints. We go through the tribulation. We're the witness people. No, you're not. The rapture is going to take the church out of here. And then the Jews become front and center. How do we know that from Scripture? Because the Scripture says so. Romans chapter 11, verse 21. This is Paul explaining in Romans 9, 10, and 11 that God has not cast off the Jews. He's not done with them. He didn't say, thanks for bringing the Messiah, I'm going to snuff the rest of you. Paul is saying, there's a plan still. And he culminates his arguments in chapter 11. For if God did not spare the natural branches, which were the Jews were the natural branches to the olive branch, he may not spare you either. So he's telling the church, you want to say, get rid of the Jews because all they do is oppose us with spreading the gospel. Well, yeah, he cut them off of the, he cut their branch off and he grafted you in. But you know what? He took them off. He can cut you off too. He may not spare you. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off. Has the church, in quote, air quotes, have we departed from God? Right now in the world, is the church a witness for the gospel of Jesus? Is the church unifiedly being a witness? Hey, you have to turn away. You have to from your sin. You have to repent. You have to believe in the biblical Jesus who died on the cross for your sins so that you can have everlasting life. Can you go to the churches, the Christian churches in the world, and get that message on a Sunday morning? Hardly ever. So in the same way, the Jews lost their witness by their idolatry, their murder, the political intrigue in the days of Jesus, they lost their witness. You know, people weren't pointing to the Jews, look at how awesome their God is, because they're an awesome people. They live in justice and righteousness, and they live according to the laws of God. They lost their witness. And we're losing, the church has lost its witness. And so God's saying, I'm going to yank out the fake church, is not going to be the witness. And he's going to take the real church to be with him, and we're not going to be the witness. So we're the remnant that's still a witness. But he's going to get us off because he's going to make the Jews be his witness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. When is he going to do that? He's going to make them the witness people when the church is gone. And what's going to happen when the what's going to happen right when the church is gone, according to, and we didn't cover this last week, but Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39, those wars are going to be so intended to completely rid the world of Jews. And what it says at the end of Psalm 83, at the end of Ezekiel 38, 39, the whole world is going to realize we can't kill them. They have a God. And all of a sudden, now they're a witness people. Are they a witness people because they then say, and we want you to believe in Jesus because God took the church away and we want you to believe in Jesus as our Messiah and your Messiah? Not going to do that. But they're still a witness. They're still a witness just like they... How many of the Jews that crossed the Red Sea, how many of those got to go into the Promised Land? Two. You know, Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron, you know, they were in belief. The rest of those people that crossed over, they weren't in total belief of God. But was it a witness for God to part the Red Sea, to let them go across on dry ground into Mount Sinai? It was a witness. That's what Rahab said. We know what your God did when he parted the Red Sea and what he did when he killed those kings of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. And we know your God is going to destroy the city, so spare my life. So they don't have to believe in Jesus to be a witness. God's going to plug them back in, and the things that God is going to be doing for them in the tribulation period is going to be a witness. How else do we know it's going to be the Jews? Because in Daniel chapter 9, still Old Testament, 70 weeks, and it means 70 weeks of years, 490 years, are determined for your people, that means the Jews, and for your holy city, that means Jerusalem. And what's going to be at the end of the 490 years? To finish transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's not going to be totally fulfilled until Jesus comes back. And we know, and then he goes on to say, that 483 of those years are going to be from a commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah comes, but the Messiah is going to be cut off, meaning sacrificially killed. Fulfilled when Jesus came back. And stop the clock at 483 years. There's still 7 years. So this prophecy needs 7 more years until all those things are accomplished. And when those 7 years are being accomplished, it's for your people and your holy city, Jerusalem. So the Jews are front and center again. And the world's hating them because they're front and center and showing the world that there's a God of the Jews. 483 years of the prophecy have been fulfilled. The final 7 years are still future to us. What's another thing they're going to do? They're going to build a third temple. The Jews are going to, what does it take to build a temple for the Jews? Do they want to build it in Missouri? Okay, where do the Jews want to build a temple? They want to build it in Jerusalem, the city of the first and second temple. That's where they want to build it. And that would require the Jews to be in control of Jerusalem. It requires them to be back in the land of Israel. And this is Revelation 11. This happens to be a New Testament. This is what Charsha said. Hey, lady, yeah, I know you're from Jordan and you hate the Jews, but you're a Christian. But guess what? Revelation 11 says that there's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem. John, the apostle, was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. The temple of God. The altar and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside of the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. So when this third temple gets built, because this is never fulfilled in history since 94 AD when they think Revelation was written, it hasn't happened yet. But when it does happen, we know from this, the temple mount's going to be, they're going to be told, okay, Jews, you can put your temple right here. You can build your temple here. But outside that, there's going to be Gentile temples or, you know, mosque. You know, maybe the Dome of the Rock can still be there and whatever else, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We don't know. But they're going to have their little plot on Jerusalem, Temple Mount, to build their temple. And they will tread, they, the Gentiles, will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses. And they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So there's going to be two witnesses, and we don't have time. I'd encourage you to go to our Revelation 11 study about this, because I spent a whole study really talking about these two witnesses are going to make sure the Jews can build their temple. Because it has a verse that ties to Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so what we can tell from this and other things, and we're going to cover this a little bit more next week, but the world's not going to be happy that the Jews are building a temple. And we can figure that out on our own. I mean, just imagine that they're going to be doing sacrifices, and like think of all the people that are going to be upset about animal sacrifices happening. But they're not going to have a choice, because for the first 3.5 years, the Bible makes it clear, the Antichrist is all for it. The global government's all for it. The Jews are going to make a deal with the global government, that we get to do this in exchange for something. We'll talk about that next week. And so these two witnesses are able to call fire down and judgments down on anybody that is hindering the Jews in worshiping for 3.5 years. And then after 3.5 years, the Antichrist becomes possessed by Satan, and he kills the two witnesses, and the whole world sees them lying in Jerusalem. Now, how can that happen? Go read commentators from the early 1900s, and they go, we don't know how that could happen. Can it happen today? Again, technology makes these prophecies of almost 2,000 years make perfect sense for the first time in the history since they were written. And it shows us that God is, the God of the Bible is the true God. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 3.5 years. And then they get killed by the Antichrist, if we, you know, go on with the rest of what's going on. Are the Jews close to building a temple today? It's talked about in the Orthodox Jews. It's been planned for decades. They have the articles. They have done DNA testing of the Jews to find out which one have the Kohathite gene, meaning that they have a genetic tie to the priesthood. And they're able to find out what the Kohathite gene is by finding bone ossuaries that had Caiaphas. They found Caiaphas, and they're getting DNA and other things to be able to then weed out. And even though you can't show your record that you go all the way back to Levi, we're going to make an exception based on DNA, and we're going to train you that want to be. We're going to train you to be priests, and they're waiting for the red heifer. And they now, for the first time in 2,000 years, they have some candidates to be perfect red heifers and are ready to sacrifice them, because a red heifer is necessary for cleansing the Temple Mount, cleansing the priesthood, so they can start animal sacrifice. And I know that's a lot of stuff that if you don't know the Old Testament law pertaining to red heifer and everything, it's like, what did you just say? I'm sorry. But they're close. This is happening. They're getting ready for this to happen. And so how do we know the Jews are going to build a third temple, which requires the Jews to be in the land of Israel, in control of Jerusalem? Another New Testament scripture from Paul. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the coming of the Lord, will not come unless there's a falling away comes first. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. A woman calls into a radio show, where, show me a New Testament verse that says that the Jews are supposed to be in the land of Israel. Oh, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Because there's going to be a temple there, a Jewish temple, and the Antichrist is going to go into a Jewish temple that's performing sacrifices according to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, but it's fulfilled in the New Testament because it's going to happen someday, and he's going to go into the Holy of Holies and declare that he himself is God instead of the God of the Jews. New Testament verse. The Jews will be betrayed by the Antichrist 3.5 years after starting their temple worship, and 2/3 of the Jews will be killed. And that's John, starting with John. Jesus warned them of this when he said, knowing that they were rejecting him as their Messiah, Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And the Jews, and I've talked to several Jews about this, you could go and talk to any Orthodox Jew that has a hope in the prophetic scriptures of someday the Messiah coming, and you could ask them the same thing. They'll tell you the same thing today as they've told me. How will you know who your Messiah is? He will bring us peace. Not peace on a piece of paper, but I mean real peace. He gives us peace in defensible borders where we can raise our family and not have to worry about being killed. He's our Messiah. And they'll emphasize, Gershon Solomon told me face to face in Jerusalem, and he's the head of the Temple Mount faithfully, and he added, and he'll be just a man. No God, just a man. Because he knows we're a bunch of Christian pastors. And it was kind of like an in-your-face thing. So, you don't want me, the Son of God, to come here and be your Messiah, Jesus says? Well, you're going to get yourself a real man. Him you're going to accept. But then, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, then this man that you accepted, according to Jesus, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So 3.5 years after your handshake with the Antichrist is your Messiah, he's going to double cross you, and then he's going to kill you. Matthew 24, 15, 16, Jesus. By the way, this requires the Jews to be in the land of Israel. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which was him taking away the sacrifice of a temple that's rebuilt and future to Jesus, standing in the holy place, he's going to be standing in the holy of holies like Thessalonians talked about. Whoever reads this, let him understand, including Char Broderson, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So God is saying, you made this deal. You thought he was your Messiah. You embraced a man instead of the Son of God, Jesus, fully man, fully God. You rejected him. You embraced this Antichrist. And now you're going to better flee to the mountains because he is after you. He's going to be killing you. Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. So Zechariah 13:8, 2/3 of the Jews, they have another Holocaust coming, which is why Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. But they're not going to be wiped out. Even though, I mean, think of the population, 7 to 8 million Jews in the land of Israel, compared to the hundreds of millions of people that hate them. 1/3 Jews will receive Jesus as their Messiah and will finally be given real peace by Jesus when he sets up his 1,000-year reign. Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, Jesus. See, this is Zechariah, Old Testament. This is Jesus speaking. It's not the Father. See, the Jews should have seen. Then they will look on me who they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. What does that require? Jews in the land. 1/3 of them surviving, living in Jerusalem when the second coming of Jesus, seeing him coming with the clouds of the air as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Jews are going to realize they made a big mistake. And Romans says, Paul says, again in Romans 11, explaining to the Gentiles that want to cast off the Jews and say they've been replaced by the church, except for people that today believe that still. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. The survivors are going to be blanket pardoned because he let them live. And a lot of those were the ones that listened to Jesus and fled to the wilderness. So they've repented of the rejection of Jesus by this time and they're all going to get saved. And they're going to be God's witness people till the very end. And some people say, well, you know, the Jews are out of covenant. Yeah, sure, they can come into the millennial reign with Jesus as long as they believe in Jesus. You know, I mean, they'll be there. But see, but the church has replaced them now. They're out of covenant. They have no right to the land. They have no promises by God to be in the land. We should be just as much for the Arabs and the Muslims who are serving the demon god Allah as we should be for the Jews who are in general belief for the God of the Old Testament and His law. They give it equal to, it's a satanic doctrine that's creeping into the church. And very sad. Over 10,000 anti-Semitic incidents in U.S. alone. World is normalizing anti-Semitism. News of a synagogue burning in Australia doesn't even make headlines. A senior World Zionist Organization official reports to the Knesset and warns that anti-Semitism today is worse than in the 30s. That's pretty bad. And, you know, why is God allowing anti-Semitism to occur? What is anti-Semitism in the world causing Jews around the world to do? Go to Israel. You know one of the prophecies that's in the Old Testament over and over again? In the last days, God's going to bring them from every nation into the land of Israel. Now, if I'm a Jew that really wants to believe in my Old Testament prophecies, I'd sit there and go, hey, family, what are we doing here in Los Angeles? What are we doing here in New York? What are we doing in these places? Well, we're supposed to go to Israel. Well, some do it the easy way. Some do it the hard way. God's bringing the hard way, bringing His Jews back into the land of Israel. What do we know without any doubt? World government's coming. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence that will bring about global government, death of a fourth of the world's population we covered last week. There will be a global financial collapse that will bring about global control of buying and selling to prevent any rise of the military or rebel power to disturb global government. The technology is here. It is being fully implemented while we sit here tonight. It is being fully funded and implemented. Hatred against the Jews will continue to increase until all the nations of the world are gathered against them in the final battle. We see it happening all around us. We understand why it's happening. It's a spiritual battle. In Prophecy Update Part 3, we will look at how and why this anti-Semitism is sweeping the world and even coming into the church in a different way. I'm going to give a different perspective of why it's coming, because I have some good Christian friends that struggle with the things of this war and everything, and we've had some good talks, and we'll look at that. And number 6 is the number 6 of what do we know? There's going to be a global deception like the world has never seen. We are headed to such deception. We, as we alluded to last week, you can't even get a phone call and have somebody on the other end that you think is your, like, let's say I get a call and I'm hearing Juanita's voice. And she's saying, Kevin, I'm in trouble. The car broke down and I need you to come and do this or do that or send some money here or send some money there. It might not be my wife because they could have just taken the AI can take just a 3 or 4 words that she's talking and then you can type out her saying whatever and I'm listening to her and I think it's her. And how can we know what we're seeing is true? How can we know what the guy that drove his truck down whatever street it was in New Orleans? How do we really know what motivated him? Who trained him? How come everybody that does these things all come out of one military facility that has a PSYOP institution too? How is this happening? We don't know anything. I mean, we can't know what's real. We get told these narratives in the media and we just have to realize we're living in a time where they can say whatever and they can make me believe it. And I just don't want to believe it. I want to believe this. This is the Word of God. This is what I'm going to stick on. And that will, and we'll pick it up. I think you'll find some things interesting that we cover next week. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We, God, it's so amazing that 50 years ago when I bowed the knee to you and didn't even know a single page of your Bible, God, but I was overwhelmed with the fact that I just knew it was the truth. And Lord, It's so comforting to know that over the years, decades, just further overwhelmed with your prophetic word that is just coming true for the last day, setting the stage for the last days before our very eyes. And we pray that you'd help us to serve you, love you with a deeper and more urgent intent as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. That I might serve you.
From Psalm 51, where David has sinned and confessed to God, and he says, God, forgive me, and then that gives me a clean heart so I can serve you. So everybody here that's a believer, you should, you know, that should sink in. He's cleansed us from sin, which are many, right, for all. And let that be a realization that just gives us a desire to serve him, walk with him in obedience, holiness, and tell people the good news, because this world's headed to trouble. We need to get some people on the life raft. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.